Hi, and welcome to Jesus Over Everything, a five-day-a-week variety show that mixes encouragement, the Bible, practical how-tos, and fantastic guests for the listener on the go. I'm Lisa Whittle, and I welcome you to just 5 minutes with me, which I trust and pray will be 5 minutes well spent. Today, I'm doing something I've never done before, interviewing two people at the same time. I had such a fun conversation with Aaron and Jennifer Smith, and we even did the fun lightning round thing together at the end, which ended up being more of a how well do you know your spouse kind of a thing. Lots of fun. But we also got into some important meaty things like why marriage is designed for more than a happily ever after, and I confess to them why I don't feature many marriage books on my show. We talked millennials and straight talk about marriage and what they would say to someone struggling in their marriage right now. All of this comes from their new book, Marriage After God, and I appreciated the conversation we had about a bunch of things. Honored to welcome this couple to Jesus Over Everything now. This is a unique show for me today because I'm actually hosting two people, never done that before, a husband and wife, Aaron and Jennifer Smith. But I'm assuming you guys are used to this because you have your own podcast and you're probably pros at interviews together, right?
We do enjoy it.
Yes, sometimes it's hard, but no, we've gotten really good at going back and forth.
Yeah, that's so cool. My husband and I have been married for 23 years, and so we have all kinds of codes and signals and shorthands at this point. We have looks, right? Like, it's just a look that we give each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you guys work together a lot, so I can imagine you have this too. I think personality differences can be so rich, but they're also challenging because obviously my husband and I, not only just being a man and a woman, those are intrinsic differences, but also we have different personalities. So that can be challenging. How's that work for you guys being different?
Kind of expose or shed some light on our personalities. Aaron is more of the social light. He, you know, is very energetic and
loves being around people.
And he's also really good at just getting things done. I, on the other hand, am more reserved and a little bit quieter. I tend to like to be a little bit more like by myself and just write. So
you want to do one thing at a time.
Yeah, do one thing at a time.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes me a little bit of time to get into that one thing. But it's what's great about it is we do work very well together as a team with our strengths. But there are some you know, parts of us that do sometimes get in the way of the work that we have in front of us. And, you know, that's just marriage too. And I feel like we, over the years, have gotten better at communicating through those differences and challenges and just, I don't know. Do you have anything
to add? Well, I think what we've been learning over the last 12 years, and we'll continue to learn until, you know, kingdom come, is how to utilize our uniqueness, our giftings, and draw them out in each other so we're organizing the thing that we're doing in a way that highlights those giftings and talents that God's given us.
Yeah, that is the cool thing about marriage is it's not that you don't have the challenges, right? So like the goal is not, hey, let's just make our marriage into this perfect thing because that's not going to happen. But it's this intentionality towards you and I are different and how can we, you know, have those differences be really beautiful compliments mm-hmm. to each other and also the body of Christ, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's really the goal. So I love hearing about the differences. And I relate to having a husband who's kind of that extrovert out there, loves people. That's how we roll too. My husband's very much that person. I'm more of an introvert. And so I was telling someone the other day, one of the things he's brought out in me in 23 years is really this social component because mm-hmm. I grew up in a house where, you know, my dad was a pastor. And we did a lot of people's stuff all the mm-hmm. time, right? That was the era where the pastor was on all the time, on call, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you know, deacons meeting throughout the week, all the things. And so he didn't really want a lot of people in our house during mm-hmm. the week. And so that's how I grew up. But my husband has helped me really appreciate people, maybe even more so, you know, for the first time in my life. So I hear what you're saying and I love it. Pretty fun that you guys wrote the book Marriage After God together. I know you have lots of things you've done together, but I know what that's like because my first book was co-authored with my mother. So I had a co-author, but what was that like writing this book together?
So I loved this experience with Aaron, and it was different than our past experiences. And I would say usually I'm the heavy hander. I'm the one that does a lot of the content writing, but Aaron kind of took over this one and he ran with it. And it was so interesting to see his growth in writing through this process. And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I never grew up seeing myself as a writer. And I don't feel like I still see myself as a writer, but with this book,
you were so passionate about
it. I know.
The
I just started writing, and I told Jennifer, I was like, this is easier than I thought it was going to be. It was still really hard and grueling, and we had to, like, you know, go and get away and just spend hours doing it. But the way it worked with this book was I would write, you know, a chapter. And then Jennifer would look at it, and then I would write another chapter, and Jennifer would look at it, and then you'd go back and add
some color.
Yeah, so we actually both pretty equally wrote this. I wrote more on the front end, she wrote more on the back end of the process, and I think it turned out really well. So there's a lot of it's kind of interesting. You have a hard time catching her voice and my voice. They blend so
it's
well
unified.
Together.
Yeah.
It does feel like complete collaboration. When mm-hmm. when I read through it, I was like, it does feel like a lot of synergy, a lot of collaboration, which is the beautiful picture of marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I can relate to what you're saying, Aaron. I mean, I don't know. Maybe some authors like feel like, okay, I'm an author. It took me a long time to be able to even say that. I'm kind of an intentional writer and author myself. But I think it's the point that when you're passionate about something, right? And when you really feel like there's just this important thing to talk about, this important thing that God has put on your heart that you feel like is the message that he wants you to carry into this world. And we all have different things that I think he's given us to really pursue and talk about, even though we might be passionate about, you know, 10 different things. There might be just one thing that he really wants us to use our gifts to speak into. Then it really doesn't feel so much like work. And I'm sure mm-hmm. that's kind of what you're referring to there.
Yeah, and that's the key to this book also is we're trying to get other people, other marriages to recognize that that's exactly what they can do. And it may not look like what we're doing, and that's the point of us sharing our story in the book, is to give an example of what God can do with your unique giftings and talents and resources if you say yes to him. And yeah, and with this book, this is just one of those yeses, and it wasn't easy in the sense of the work put into it was hard. But it was easy in the sense that I've never written this much in my life, and to keep a cohesive thought throughout, and to actually get the message portrayed well, it was pretty exciting to see. And all I could do is glorify God, because I just was like, this must be God, because I don't know how to write this well.
Yeah, no, I relate to that. So that's a good thing to kind of segue into, because we were, you know, here we are talking about the fact that, you know, we all have these kind of unique things that God wants us to talk about, you know, even as individuals, and in your case, you know, really kind of as this couple. And I see our family and our marriage as, you know, a ministry all together. I think that's something, especially about 4 years ago, that we began to really see our family as a family ministry, and, you know, what's our family mission. And we began to not see it so compartmentalized as, you know, this is what my husband does, this is what I do, this is what the kids make. But what do the widows exist to do? What do all of us exist to do? I think it's super important. But so this is the thing with me with marriage books. I'm going to be totally honest with you, because I'm a very blunt person, okay? So I don't do a ton of interviews about marriage books. And here's why. Because marriage is really nuanced in a lot of ways, with our different personalities, how we come into it, you know, from different backgrounds. And I think it's hard for me with a lot of marriage books, because there's not a one size fits all, right? Mm-hmm. There's not this model of one size fits all. And so
right.
I kind of have a couple of these, you know, marriage books that I love and recommend over and over again, and I stick with them. But something you wrote in your book reminded me a lot about the message of one of those books that I really love. And it's where you say that marriage is designed for more than a happily ever after. And I firmly believe that myself. And so I want you to talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, and that's our heart for this book, is we didn't want to just write another marriage book. There's so many good marriage books out there for people that are going through a myriad of things, you know, helping with communication, helping with struggles, and just strengthening your marriage. But we wanted to point at why we're married and what God created this institution for in the first place. And that idea of chasing happily ever after, which is the American dream. I mean, who doesn't want to be happy?
Right.
Is so subjective and fleeting. If you just think about in your own life, you know, the last vacation you were looking forward to, that, you know, the anticipation, the excitement, oh, it's going to be so amazing. And you build it up and you enjoy it. And then you come home and it's gone.
Right.
And
right.
And so that thing that was making you happy and made you excited, it's come and gone. And that is how it is with any pursuit of happiness. Is they're temporary, they're not eternal. And so that's why the Bible, you know, is so strong on this idea of joy, and the fruit of the Spirit of joy is that is an eternal thing. And just like Paul, when he's in prison, naked, beat, and hungry, can have joy. You know, this thing, marriage, if we pursue something beyond us, beyond the temporary, if we recognize that the ministry, the mission, the purpose is this idea that God instituted, it's something that God has for you to do. That is so much more valuable. That is so much more eternal. And when we focus on that rather than happiness, because again, happiness, your definition and your husband's definition is going to be a little different,
right?
And sometimes those are going to line up, but again, they pass. But having that eternal perspective and chasing the ministry that God has for you, you find joy in everything you do. Mm-hmm. It could be a 9-to-5 job at a gas station. You could be changing tires. You could be changing diapers. And you know that you're going in that direction together for something so much grander than this temporary life has to offer. And then you know what happens along the way?
Happiness.
You find those things that come along. Like, there's been so many things that Jennifer and I have been able to experience that we would have never have guessed or imagined we were going to experience just by chasing God.
Yeah, and I do think everything in light of the gospel, whatever role we play in life, whatever God has for us to do. And so I think it's powerful to see our marriage in light of eternity. And that is super important. And that's what you're saying here. And I really appreciate that. You're pretty straightforward in this book. And I also appreciate that. You're also millennials. And I wonder how what you're saying is being received by maybe some less traditional thinking younger people. What does this generation need to hear about marriage?
I think what comes to my mind is when I think of millennials and being one, the first thing that I wrestled with in the beginning of my marriage is this sense of entitlement, or that I deserved God to bless our marriage and to make sure that we never experienced hardship or trial or anything outside of what I expected for marriage. And so when we came up against those things and we did experience hardship, I crumbled and I was frustrated and I was angry toward God because he wasn't giving me what I thought we deserved. And so I think that something that millennials need to hear is that we don't deserve anything, and that our marriages will face trials. We will go through really hard things, and we need to be able to endure. We need to be able to persevere through those things, whether we ever experience what we,
whether it lines up with our expectations.
Right. So, and I think that's what makes the gospel such a beautiful thing in our life, is that we're looking to God, you know, together, and we're working together as a team for his glory, not our own.
Yeah.
And then the other half of that, I would say, is wanting immediate gratification, wanting things to be right now perfect, wanting the fulfillment in ministry now, or that thing we're looking for in the future today. And that, you know, just that endurance word, but the hard work of taking each step forward and doing it together, and realizing that at the end of the day, we don't get to just throw this thing out because it doesn't feel good right now.
Right, right.
You know, that we have eternity in mind, that we have God's will in mind, not our own. And so instead of giving up because we're not getting what we think we should get today, or that thing that we want over there isn't happening now, saying yes to God now in your marriage, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, and even when it doesn't look like it's going the way you want it to go, in ministry, or in your relationship, or in your family, or in your home, or your job. But moving past that and realizing that, you know, it's a lifetime of learning and being sanctified and growing, and God's faithful. you know, and he wants us to remain faithful to him and to walk with him. And it's a day-to-day thing. And it's years pursuing him and seeing what he's doing over the days and the hours and the years.
Yeah. And it's not just a millennial issue, by the way. It's like the human condition to want what we want now, the instant gratification. And if it's not working, let's just throw it out. I mean, that's just a human thing, right? We all sort of get in that place. And if it doesn't feel like it's working, let's just get rid of it. And, you know, I think marriage is such a thing that has sharpened me. It has challenged me. It has forced me not to run away from looking at things in my own life that have needed to change. And there have been periods of our marriage that have certainly been much harder than others. And in those spaces, it has been a real temptation to say, hey, we could always throw in the towel here. But it's kind of what I call the principle of the greater desire, which is foregoing what you want in the moment for what you really want most. And I think there's such an important reality there of what do we really want the most in life? What do we really want more? And can we forego just that temporary feel, that moment, momentary want for what we really want the most? And so that's very important. So if someone needs some help in their marriage right this minute, right? So they're really struggling. Obviously, it'd be great if they could get your book, and I hope they'll do that. Let's say that, and let's assume that they're actively praying about it, because I know the three of us would all say, pray, pray, pray. But what is like a practical, maybe a practical next thing you would tell them to do right now if they're really struggling?
So we actually get this a lot. We get people emailing us with an issue, and then they all have a common phrase they say. They say, I can't tell anyone I'm close to about this because they won't understand or they'll judge me, but I can tell you. And I'm bringing that up because what's interesting about that is they don't know us.
Yeah.
And we don't know them, and we don't know the details of their life. We don't walk with them on a daily basis.
And then if they even told us, we wouldn't be able to continue in that relationship and keep them accountable.
Right.
Which is a huge part of the puzzle.
And we'll never know the full story because we're only getting it from one side. And Proverbs tells us to be careful from doing that because we're only hearing one side of the story.
Sure.
And the thing is they're avoiding community. They're avoiding transparency. They're avoiding being accountable to the thing they're going through. And so I would say, and this is a huge thing, is avoid autonomy. The Bible is very clear that we are to be in unity and connected to the body of Christ and not to avoid fellowship, true koinonia fellowship, where people know us. They know where we are, where we're strong. They know where we are weak. They speak into our lives. They encourage us. And so this couple that is actively praying and saying, Lord, help us, that they need to be going to people that they love, that love the Lord, that they have, that those people have good fruit in their life, and say, we are going through this thing. Please help us.
Yeah.
They need other Christians to walk with them.
Yeah, and I think isolation is our tendency when we're hurting. And certainly we feel safer, I think, sometimes reaching out to someone that we don't know. And I get that, and I know you do too. It's just the reality is, as you say, there are some real issues with reaching out to someone who doesn't know you. And it's really hard for someone to speak into that full issue, you know, and know exactly what's going on. And certainly you provide resources online, and we can do that as leaders and ministers of the gospel. But the reality is that we were made to fellowship, and it's exactly what you're saying. And I think that's super powerful and some great advice. This show is called Jesus Over Everything, and it's not just the name of this show. I want you to know that, but it's what I pray for my life to be about, all of it. I can't think of a more appropriate mantra, if you will, as it relates to marriage. Seems, I think, pretty obvious, but on a practical level, how does Jesus Over Everything relate to marriage and making it work?
Well, you know, just to go back to the book Marriage After God, that's the whole message of what we tried to encourage couples to receive, and that is that Jesus should be over everything, and we have to have a foundation in our marriage that pursues God in that way. So practically speaking, that's affirming each other daily through prayer, reading the word together, discussing it, applying it to your lives, teaching it to your children.
Yeah, recognizing that the reason we're together and everything we do is to be for him and his glory, as the scriptures tell us to do all as unto the Lord. So the Jesus over everything is, is the point. Like what you brought up earlier, you said, you know, we're a team for God. We're going to use our family and our giftings and our talents, and we're going to move his agenda forward and his kingdom forward. That changes the perspective and focus of what your family's for in the first place. And that's what our heart is that these marriages would recognize that when they focus on God and what he's doing and say yes to him, we start moving with him in his direction. And actually it trickles down into every area of our life with our parenting, with the way we communicate. It's the foundational thing that keeps us going where God wants us to go.
Yeah.
And the moment we take our eyes off him, we start floundering, or we bump heads because now we're facing each other instead of going in his direction.
Yeah, that's so true. He is the hub of everything. I don't know how anybody could make anything work without God being the center, without Jesus being over everything. It really, and obviously we don't do this perfect. I don't do this perfectly every day. Jesus is not over everything in every aspect of my life every single day, because I am an imperfect human. But boy, it's one of those things that I certainly always want to try for, always want to pray to be, right? Because pray to have, because it is the key to everything we do. And I don't know how marriage can work without Jesus. I really don't. So we always end on a fun note. I've never done this before with two people. So I'm gonna have to do like a his and her version of this, which it's going to expose Aaron and Jennifer, how well you know each other. So I'm going to ask you about the other person, and then the other person can tell us if you are right or wrong. So are you ready to do like a lightning round here?
Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah, sure.
You're like, you say that so enthusiastically. All right, here we go. Aaron, food-wise, would Jennifer want salty or sweet?
Sweet.
Is he right, Jennifer?
He's right.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Jennifer, what was Aaron's best subject in high school?
Oh.
You might have to guess at this, obviously.
I'm going to say, I hear a lot about drafting. I don't know if that was a thing.
Yeah, that was. I mean,
is she right? Well, I'm impressed if she's right.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. All right. Aaron, what is Jennifer's biggest pet peeve?
Ooh. she has a few of them.
Biggest pet peeve. Females do, by the way. We have a couple, at least.
When I roll up a paper towel, I use a paper towel and like leave it on the counter right next to the trash can.
Jennifer, is this the top or is there another one we need to know about?
Yeah, I feel like there's a few.
There are a few, but they're all hovering right there at the same line. So I give him that one.
They're all
yes.
equal.
Okay. All right. Jennifer, what would Aaron do if the sky was the limit and he could have a day to do anything?
I feel like he would take me and his kids on a trip somewhere.
Yeah, which I think we might do soon.
Okay, cool.
Or maybe go hang out with one of his guy friends.
Yeah, it would either go with the family to do something or spend some time with some guy friends.
Okay, so hanging out. Well, yeah, could that make sense? Because you're like a people person. So you would...
Yeah,
obviously got that. Okay, Aaron, what makes Jennifer feel most loved?
When I remember little things that she likes.
Nice.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
All right, Jennifer, what's the number one quality Aaron looks for in a friend?
That's a good question.
I'd say loyalty, and he really enjoys being needed.
Okay.
Like, how can he help you?
Yeah.
He just wants to be used.
Yeah.
In a good way.
The best person would be someone just uses me.
I look for you to use me. That's awesome. No, I get what you're saying. That's awesome. Yeah. All right. So this is for both of you, and you can answer one at a time, obviously. What's the most fun thing you've ever done in your marriage?
Had kids.
Yeah, nice. What about you, Aaron?
Was it 2 years ago now? Mm-hmm. We did this pseudo... it was a flying road trip on the East Coast, and that was actually a lot of fun.
Oh, cool.
Like, we'd fly to a city and then drive to a city and then fly to a city. We had there was a little bit of work sprinkled in there, but it was, I think that was a lot of fun.
That sounds
awesome.
It was lots of exploration.
Yeah, it was really great.
Okay. That sounds awesome. All right, both of you, what is the hardest thing you've overcome together? Which I know that's a hard question too, because there may be a couple things, but just something that comes to mind, something hard you've overcome together.
I think I would say sexual intimacy, you know, just overcoming those hurdles of we've been through different seasons, but it's been painful. It's been emotional. It's been lots of ups and downs.
And if your listeners don't know, in the first 4 years of our marriage, we couldn't have sexual intimacy. It was too painful.
Yeah.
for Jennifer, and that lasted for 4 years, and that caused a lot of turmoil and bitterness and anger towards God. And
the second half of our marriage, we've had kids, and so going through postpartum seasons and healing, and it's just been a lot, but we seem to keep overcoming, and we're stronger and stronger. So
And I appreciate you being really honest and real about that, because I think that's something that a lot of us struggle with, and I think that's something that is really important to be open about and candid about, because that will make other people feel like that they're not alone. And so I really appreciate you speaking into that. All right, here's the last question. I'd love to hear both of you answer this. What is the last thing you'd say about Jesus if you could only say one last thing?
He's real. He's real, and you got to experience it for yourself, because there's nothing that can compare. Mm.
Yeah, and I would just say, because even Christians need to be reminded that the gospel is that we deserve hell, but because of Jesus and God's mercy, is we get heaven, we get God, we're reconciled to the Father through Jesus Christ alone, and He is worth everything we have.
Yeah, well, I have thoroughly enjoyed spending time with the both of you, and I appreciate you being such easy guests on me, Aaron and Jennifer Smith. I really appreciate you, and I just pray God's blessing on this book, Marriage After God. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Jesus Over Everything with Lisa Whittle. If you like what you're listening to, share it with a friend by letting them know about what we do here so they too can be inspired and glean from this community. And hey, if you haven't already, leave a 5-star review on iTunes. It helps so much in making this show what it is and continuing to spread the word about us. You guys are the best.